This is Kelly Blewett. I'm joined tonight by Michelle Houts, a children's book author whose biography of Cincinnati artist Charlie Harper just released from Ohio University Press. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about Count the Wings.
Count the Wings is the first biography of Charlie Harper, and it's part of a series that Ohio University Press started about 4 years ago called Biographies for Young Readers, and the target audience is really the 8 to 14-year-old reader. And Charlie Harper just stood out as one of those people whose story needed to be told because he influenced so many people in so many ways.
And his imprint is all over the city of Cincinnati.
It definitely is. It's amazing.
And Charlie called his style, as you write in the book, minimal realism, meaning that he kind of exaggerated these details in a very abstract and fun sense. But what some listeners might not know is that he also was a really proficient and excellent realistic artist as well.
Yes, he was. He was actually trained as a realistic artist, and he felt like that was a necessary prerequisite for learning to draw. He's quoted as saying, you have to learn to put it all in before you can learn to know what to take out. And the term minimal realism is a term that he coined himself, and it just takes you back to the most basic he learned in art school, the straight lines and curved lines, and this real flat, hard-edged, very simple use of color and overlapping shapes. That's actually where the title of the book comes from. Count the Wings is his way of saying that when he looks at a bird, he doesn't count each feather and try to draw all these detailed lines that indicate feathers. He draws two triangles, one for each wing.
And a lot of the book, which I just loved, is full of these old sketches and drawings and letters and even things that he wrote home during the war. And I wondered if you could just describe for us the self-portrait that he sent home using V-mail on Christmas 1 year.
Yes. Writing biographies is a treasure hunt, especially if no biography has ever been written of that individual before. And the Harper Studio, Brett Harper, curator Chip Soyle, those guys were amazing in helping me find things. The fun thing was that because this hadn't really been done before, and they're still in the process of curating both Charlie's and Edie's work, I would visit and we'd all dig through boxes together and see what we were coming up with. So things were being discovered along the way. And this is one of the most exciting discoveries. And it wasn't discovered at the studio. This picture is a full page portrait sketch, just Charlie's head and shoulders wearing an army helmet. And he took the whole V-mail, which was Victory Mail, used to send mail quickly and efficiently back and forth to Europe during World War II. He used the whole page just to do a pencil sketch of himself. And it's just a stunning picture. And at the bottom, he wrote, Merry Christmas, Charlie. It's addressed to his parents in Rock Cave, West Virginia. But this was actually found by the new owners of the Harper home on Bourbon Street in Buchanan, West Virginia, and given to the Upshur County Historical Society. So it was my contacting the Upshur County Historical Society and telling them about my research for this book that brought this to light. They had it in several other things that were found in the home, and they had never reached out to the Harper family, you know, to say we own this. And so it was just really exciting for me to share this with Brett and put it in the book.
And it's just beautiful the way that he works with shadow and light in this portrait. And the expression on his face is really interesting. He looks serious, but also somehow hopeful. And I just think that the parents receiving this card, you know, he managed to communicate so much about his mental state and his steadfastness through this image.
And Charlie did not like the war. No one likes war, but Charlie would have preferred to be in Cincinnati in art school, drawing with Edie and their friends. But he took his duty seriously and, you know, he went. And this picture, I think, shows he's somewhere that he doesn't necessarily want to be, but he understands he needs to be. And yes, I see the hope too. This too shall pass and life will go on.
So after Charlie got back from the war, he used the GI Bill money to go to New York and study art. But you write that New York was not really a comfortable home for him.
It really wasn't. His letters to Edie during that time indicate, you know, everything from just absolute misery to real homesickness. You know, he came from a very small town and at that point had spent very little time in Cincinnati, just a year. And so it was big and it was noisy. It was uncomfortable. The room he rented, they would have hot water sometimes and sometimes they wouldn't. There was a single bare light bulb that didn't allow him to draw in his room. So he had to go to the Art League, which was where he was studying, if he wanted to do any work. He says at one time, he said, the only reason I've stayed this long is that I've had this planned for so long that even though I'm dazed with disappointment, I just can't drop it like a hot potato. I feel like a balloon that just ran into a pin. So his hopes were very deflated. Some of the classes that he wanted, he couldn't get into. He found himself bouncing back and forth between the criticism of his instructors and the praise of his instructors, and he didn't quite know what to make of that. And he really came from a friendly environment, and he found New York to be somewhat cold. And one of my favorite quotes is when he talks about being on the subway and nobody makes eye contact and nobody talks to one another. And he said, back home, you wouldn't run into a neighbor and not at least ask if the rain will hurt the rhubarb. You know, so he comes from this small town friendliness. And so he was not very happy in New York. And he was happy to get back to studying art at the Art Institute in Cincinnati.
So just briefly, can you tell us a little bit about his relationship with Edie and why Cincinnati became his home?
I think Cincinnati was the perfect place for the two of them to end up and to be together and to raise their family. They met on the very first day of class in September 1943 at an art school in Cincinnati. Immediately hit it off as friends and then began to draw together. And that relationship stayed steady for a lot of years because there were 2 years of art school, and then there were the war years, and then New York, and then back to art school. And in the meantime, you know, she continued her art career and graduated, and he had to finish when he got back. So Cincinnati itself, I think, is just the perfect blend of culture and art. And he complained that even though he loved the small town, comfortable feeling of Cannon, West Virginia and Upshur County, it lacked art. He didn't know anyone as a child that had ever been an artist as a living, you know, maybe as a hobby, but not as a living. And so Cincinnati was full of that music and culture and art and museum, and yet it wasn't New York City. So Cincinnati was this perfect size of town for him to thrive in.
Well, Michelle, thank you so much for being with us. And I know that this book will really introduce Charlie to a new generation who's already bumping into his art around town. And it's just been a real pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me. I've enjoyed it.
I've been talking with Michelle Houts, the author of the book Count the Wings, The Life and Art of Charlie Harper. More information on this title can be found on our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. This is Kelly Blewett.